Thanks for checking out this bonus interview with Honoré Corder for Chapter 10 of Performance Driven Giving. My name is Kent Sanders, and I'm a writer who collaborated with David Hancock and Bobby Kipper on the book. Just a quick note before we get to the conversation. You may notice that these interviews have a bit of a different feel than what you're used to hearing on a podcast interview or in another setting. The reason is because these have been edited for clarity and flow to let the material on giving really shine through. We appreciate you listening and hope you enjoy this conversation with Honoré Corder. So you're somebody who values relationships highly. How can somebody who is not a people person start to care more about relationships? Maybe they're an introvert. Maybe they're just not a people person. They're just highly driven. Is there a way that you've seen people can start to transform themselves into somebody who really cares more about people?
Well, I think there's a lot to unpack in that question. And my thought about not being a people person is I think everyone's a people person. It's just they have to find their people. Right? So it's not that I don't like people. It's that I don't like all people.
True. That's a good point.
There's some people I don't like, some people I like, and some people that are my people. I resonate with them more. We have things in common, or we're moving in the same direction, or we have common interests, philosophies, outlooks, beliefs, behaviors, those sorts of things. If someone takes a second to think about how they think about relationships, I think that's the most important piece. I recognized a long time ago, and this was my own self-study personal development path that I have been on for a long time, which was to recognize that I don't want anything to be transactional. I want it to be relational. So I never look at a conversation with someone as this is the beginning, the middle, and the end, and then they're gone. Clients, customers, readers, empire builders, my masterminds in general, right? The people who I engage, specifically clients that people I work with in my book, who take my courses, all of the people that I interact with, money or no money, I set that aside, and I'm interested in the connection and the relationship. I'm looking for the long term. How can I serve them long term? And sometimes I don't serve them now. I cannot be of service to them now for one reason or another, but I don't say, well, that's the transaction. It's done. I think my best advice for someone is to think about every person as a soul, as a being, and to figure out why you've shown up in their life and what the best timing is for that to progress, move forward, expand, whatever that looks like.
I love that. Who's someone who made a big difference in your life by giving to you? I'm sure there have been many, many, many people, but is there one particular person that might come to mind?
My husband. My husband came into my life and gave me the gift of someone who sees you fully for who you are and permission to be who I am, to be fully who I am. And that is an incredible gift.
What are some ways that as a business leader and an entrepreneur that you practice giving and generosity in an intentional way?
I am, I'm a Rotarian. I have been a Rotarian for, I have to put a number on this, 24 years. Rotary is a service organization. The motto is service above self. And we have rules that we live by, or things that we believe in terms of the organization. I'm making it sound like a cult. It's not like that at all. The questions we ask, we have the four-way test, right? So that's at the beginning of every meeting. Is it the truth? Is it fair to all concerned? Does it build goodwill and better friendships? Is it beneficial to all concerned? Those are the four questions that we ask about the things and that we think, say, and do. And those impacted me when I first joined Rotary all those years ago, asking those questions before every single interaction, before every action. If you stop and think about those questions, it's like, wow, those are some pretty clarifying questions, right?
Those are great
for all concerned, right? Ooh, does it build goodwill and better friendships? That's long-term, right? That's a long-term relationship as opposed to a transactionship. So I serve as a Rotarian, and in my giving, I promote, or I provide financial support. I provide time support. I give of my treasures, my talents, right, and my time. And so that is how, one of the ways that I serve. Another one is I'm on the board of Family and Children's Service as a former foster kid. I benefited from Family and Children's Service back in the 80s, back in the day as a teenager. And of course, I cannot repay the folks who helped me. So I pay it forward by, again, volunteering with that organization, serving on the board and giving financially to them during their various things that they do during the year. I was looking for a $10 word. They do things.
Initiatives.
Initiatives. That's what I, English is my first language. So I was looking for that big word. Anyway.
That's perfect, because one of the things that we're emphasizing in the book is community service, because Morgan James is a big supporter of Habitat for Humanity.
Okay. Yeah. So we did a build. We did a Habitat build.
Oh, cool.
Last fall. And that was probably the 15th house that I had helped to build. So I used to be on the board of Habitat a long time ago, many, many, many years ago in the late 90s and early 2000s.
That's
I was on the board of Habitat. And so I have built many houses. And so Rotary is kind of an umbrella organization that supports other organizations. So I love that. Yeah. So you got to do a build since you're a Morgan James.
I need to since I'm technically on the Morgan James team. So
that's right.
It'll be fun.
That's
right. I talked to one of their executives yesterday for Habitat, and she was wonderful. Janet Green. I don't know if you've ever connected with her or not. That was really, really fun.
Friends with Karen Anderson. I think I've connected with her.
Okay.
Because of, hold on. I've got animal action under the tree.
That's all good. We have a cat and a dog, so there's lots of action under the tree.
Lot of action. Yes, they're
very interested in the tree.
Going on. Yeah, they're trying to figure out. Mr. Pickles likes to sleep under the tree. Rogue walks by the tree and knocks all the ornaments off. It's a good time.
And we were laughing the other day about a couple years after we got married, we had this cat who was his name was Indiana. His name was Indy, because he was like Indiana Jones. He just loved to explore everything. And one night in the middle of the night, we heard this loud crash, and the cat had gotten up into the tree, and the whole tree just completely fell over. And
Our cats have never done that before. Knock on wood.
I hope they never do.
Well, it's a big tree, so I hope not. Rogue, come here. Come here. Stop being crazy. Sit.
Are there any specific habits in your life that help you give? Talked about morning routines, and I'll get into that in a second, but anything specific that you do? You kind of hit on this already, but I thought I'd ask it anyway.
So I give a portion of every dollar that I earn back to organizations that I support. So that is a habit. So as money comes in, it is allocated. And that is one of my practices. I give by saying thank you. So I have a daily thank you note practice that is over 1100 days at this point. So I got to 1000 days and I was like, okay, it's a habit. I'm not going to count. But I want to say I was over 1000 words when we bought this place, and that was at the end of July. So it's been another 90 days. So I'm over 1100 thank you notes, one or more. So some days I write 5 or 10, depending on what's happened. Some days I just write 1. I like to pay for the car behind me at Starbucks, right? I always am like, what are they getting? let me buy it. And then I'm always gone. I never know what happens. But sometimes I'll say, what happens when someone pays for the car behind them? And they'll say, well, sometimes they keep it going and it goes for 10 people or something like that.
People
will pay for the car behind them. So I like to just do anonymous things too. Just, I never pass up an opportunity, and I got this from a book. I'm not going to remember the name, but it was talking about, it's called Seed Money. I did remember the name. It's an old, 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 old book. You have to Google it and download it. It's not even something that I think you can buy. But the author was talking about how if you believe in the laws of the universe, if you believe in the laws of giving and receiving, right, the law of reciprocity, right, that whenever you give money, it's going to return to you tenfold. And I was like, okay, that sounds fun. And one of the things that the author said was never pass up an opportunity to give. Never say no. Always give something. And so I will not pass a homeless person. I keep money in my car just for that purpose. I keep ones and fives in my car and sometimes 20s. And if I see someone, if they're holding up a sign, and it's not for me to judge whether they're a millionaire on the side holding a sign, like they've taken the whole traffic, right? Like I'm just breaking it in. And they're like, this is beats having a job. It's not my job to judge. It's my job. I feel like it's my job, my responsibility. Once I saw that, once I read that, I couldn't unread it. I couldn't unsee it. I couldn't unthink it. And every time I see someone and they say, hey, do you have something? I'm like, yes, I'll give you what I have. Here you go. I've never passed up an opportunity to give. And I think it's, I love this concept that you're writing about, because I think one of the reasons I'm successful is because I give. I think it does come back tenfold. It doesn't come back from that person. It's like the point of giving is not always the point of receiving, but I know it comes back. I can track it, because the book said, track it, track where you give, and then know that it's already come back to you in some way. And then, you know, acknowledge it when it comes. And I stopped doing that a long time ago. It's just a practice. But no one's ever asked me. I don't actually think I've, besides my husband, no one, and my daughter's like, you don't give me money like that. I'm like, you're on my payroll, buddy.
Yeah, different. Exactly.
It's different. This is different. But I've never actually shared that.
You know, that's fascinating. I've spent a lot of time with you, most of it without you knowing, through listening to podcast interviews. Oh. And that sounds kind of weird, but you know
I do mean. That. I do that too. I spend so much time with someone. And then I'm like, when I met Mark Victor Hansen, he's like, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I'm like, I know. I know, Mark. We've spent a lot of time together. So I totally get it.
Well, I never knew a lot of this stuff. And it just occurs, not that you need another idea for a book, I'm sure. But it occurs to me just as a reader, I would love to like hear your whole perspective on all the, on this topic, like in a, whatever you have to say on giving and generosity, that to me would be really beneficial.
Interesting.
But again, not that you need other ideas for books, because you got a lot of stuff going.
Well, I've wondered, like, I have thought it's been a while since I've had a good nonfiction book idea. So I will file this. I'm going to write this in my bullet journal when we're done.
Awesome. Now, you mentioned that it comes back to you. What specific ways does giving benefit you as well? Because typically when people talk about giving, they think of it as a one-way street. You know, particularly when we're giving to organizations or giving to homeless or things like that. How does giving come back to you, and what does it do for you mentally, emotionally, psychologically?
I feel like of whom much is given, much is expected. Right. So I feel like it's my responsibility, like I said, to do it. But I also, I have a belief that I have a mantra, right? One piece of it is every dollar I give benefits the universe and the world at large. Right. So it's like when I get a big bill, I'm like, oh, it's a big bill. And then I think, what is this money going to do for the people who receive it? So you and I can relate to, I just got a big client and they just paid me all this money and that's really cool, right? So that's really fun. So their money is benefiting us. So I look at it like my money is benefiting those that go out, and that makes me feel good. There's just a sense of satisfaction with knowing that every dollar I spend, every dollar I give is helping someone. Someone is maybe celebrating, like I got a new client and it was Honoree. Right. Honoree gave me a lot of money.
Yeah.
So it's kind of that back. I also think that, you know, as we all give, whatever you believe spiritually, religious, in a religious fashion, that you are then blessed, right? You're blessed to be a blessing. So then the blessings come in different ways. It's not always, I give money, money comes back to me. It's like, I get a lot of things, gifts that people send me, or I got this mug. Someone brought me a housewarming mug.
Nice.
So I didn't have to buy a mug. I'll get referral fees and discounts. And I did something nice for someone recently. She opened a restaurant and I have been having all my meetings there to give her exposure because I can, because I believe in her and her food. And, you know, I shouldn't be the only one with a bigger pant size, right? I'm going to share that gift as well. And the one I went to pick up the order the other day, she had given me a discount. She had told her staff, like, every time she comes in, give a discount. So that's not money returned. That's just money I keep. Does that make sense?
It does.
So I think that all of that giving comes back in little magical ways. When I need something, it shows up. Oh, I'm looking for X. I did something that I said to my husband, I think this is why this happened. And the situation was, we bought this cabin. This was somebody's weekend cabin. So it was not set up for people to live in it all the time. So there's a water situation, or rather a lack of water situation. And we were supposed to have water delivered, and then something happened and we didn't. So we spent Thanksgiving like, well, when we run out of water, we're kind of out of water.
That's not good.
So then what do we do? And so Friday morning, my husband made a couple of calls and someone said, oh, you know what? I'll bring you water. Like, I'm not in the office today. I'm going to go load up my tank with water and I'm going to bring you water. And what had happened was, when we first engaged this company to put in our whole water system, my husband said, she spent so much time on the phone with me and she was so kind, let's send Tiff's treats. And I don't know if you know what Tiff's treats are, but they're fresh cookies out of the oven that they deliver to you warm.
We just had a place open up here in town called Crumble Cookies, kind of a similar deal. Best cookies I've ever had. They're amazing.
So you can order. So I became a VIP person like maybe a year ago, and like on birthdays and things like that, I'll just send people milk and cookies and a balloon or whatever. Or anytime someone does something nice, like I have a girlfriend who's starting a job today and I'm sending her like, you know, best wishes in your new job, cookies. And so we had sent cookies. So I sent, I don't know, 2 or 3 dozen cookies for her and the whole staff, just saying like, hey, thanks for taking such good care of us. Well, guess who brought us water on Black Friday, when everything was closed and everyone was on vacation, including her? And I said, I think it's just because we were nice. Like, we gave her cookies. I think it's just right. We gave gratitude
people
in
cookies.
The form of a cookie. But, and it wasn't the cookie, right? It wasn't like, she could have bought her own cookies. It was not very much money. But she was like, those are really good cookies. Like, when she came out, she was like, those are really good cookies. And I thought, it's the thought that counts. It's the gratitude. And it's also the, I think when you give appreciation, when you just take a second and you say, hey, you know, Kent, thanks for thinking of me. You're writing a book, and you could ask any of the billions of people on the planet, like, hey, thanks for taking the time and asking me what I think about giving. That's really cool. When you show appreciation, then people feel seen.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times I've heard this, there's a whole class of people. I don't like that term, but you understand what I'm saying. Like, there are lots of people who feel like they are not seen. And if you take a second and you see them, and then you see them and you show appreciation, you say, hey, thanks for seating me at my table. Thanks for bringing me such a lovely meal. Thanks for this thing that you have done for me that you didn't have to do. Like the UPS people, like, they're up here all the time, driving up my long driveway, bringing me the packages. And I'm like, I am going to go buy dozens of cookies, and I'm going to have a box of cookies for every person that brings me a package. Like, it's just, it's these little tiny things that we all can do as humans to make this journey a little bit nicer.
I love that.
Yeah.
See, we need a whole book on this stuff. Like, there's really, I couldn't find any book really on this. I'm sure there are, but.
Isn't that what the book you're writing now? I don't want to.
Well, kind of, sort of, kind of. It's really, it's not a book of necessarily tons of practical tips like this. I mean, that's going to be included, but I wish we could do a separate book that was just this kind of stuff, like really how to show up as a good human being, you know, giving is part of that, of course. So I guess that is what this book is to some degree.
Yeah.
So really this book
I'll still think about it.
It's continued to expand.
I'm going to have to go to the Puffy Muffin and buy like 3 or 4 dozen cookies and put them in little boxes and get them ready for the deliveries to come.
Okay, one final question here. How can morning routines help someone to develop good giving habits?
Oh, great question. Well, my morning routine, as I mentioned already, thank you notes. So my very first thing that I do, so it's get up, put on my workout clothes, you know, one eye to the coffee machine. And then I pull out, I have a whole drawer in my entertainment center that is cards, notes, stationery, envelopes, pens, the whole 9 yards, and stamps. And I thoughtfully write a thank you note. That's the very first thing that I do as part of my morning routine. So I've meditated before I got out of bed. That's there. But the first thing that I do before I engage in writing or reading or affirmations or any of the things is I just send a note in the mail to someone just saying, hey, thanks for this cool thing that you did.
I love it.
And sometimes you have to get really creative about sending someone a note so they don't feel weird. It's like, I didn't give her my information. How did she find it? Right. So I use business addresses instead of home addresses, stuff like that. But that as part of my morning routine, I give gratitude in thought, but I also give gratitude in action.
That reminds me of something. I remember what I was going to ask you about. I made a note last night on my run while I was listening to that podcast interview. You mentioned something about affirmations and an app that you use. Was it called ThinkUp? Yeah. Did I hear that right?
Yes. I'm just going to look. ThinkUp on the iPhone. Okay. There's a different one if you are using an inferior type of telephone.
No, I've got an iPhone.
Okay.
Like, we've had this discussion many times.
I have an Android, and I was like, I don't understand what you're. What did you just say?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is that English? What are you doing?
So, is that something that, if I understood correctly, you read your own affirmations and it plays it back to you? Is that how that works?
Uh huh. Yeah.
That's interesting.
So it's any behavior or belief that you want to change, upgrade, reinforce for yourself or anyone else, but in your own voice being played back into your noggin. So you can do it while you're consciously listening. I listen and repeat it out loud because I believe words are powerful. So I try to speak words of affirmation, obviously. And I have affirmations for my daughter and my husband that I say, and then I also, whenever I notice myself being lesser than I would like to be, like more snarky, less kind, more sarcastic, you know, less grace giving. I know this is shocking to you, but that's whatever happened. Just like right there. See, then I write an affirmation that never ceases to, it is always effective. And I can tell you why in a second, to change, upgrade, or reinforce what I am trying to accomplish. The reason that it works is because of cognitive dissonance, right? You can't say something over and over again and not actually then begin to do it. Even if when you start saying it, like I used to say, I study French every day and weeks would go by. There was no studying going on, but I just kept saying, I study French every day and I love it. And I can speak French and I can understand French. I can comprehend French. I can read French. My French accent is superb. And of course, at the time, it was all BS. And depending on your school of thought around affirmations, like some people say, well, you're lying to yourself, but actually, what happens is either you will keep saying it and start doing it, or you will stop saying it. You can't actually keep saying I get off the couch and walk every day. And at some point you will just realize I've been getting off the couch and walking every day. I wrote every day. I'm speaking French with a great French accent. What's happening right now? And it's because of what you're putting in. Your subconscious mind has no choice but to follow through on that. So listening to your own words telling you something over and over again is not unlike a parent telling a child something over and over again, or a peer saying something, right? It works. And it was an EBMer, Alyssa Nelson, who's a business coach, and she just was like, I'm not. And so she got an app, not this one, because she uses an inferior phone, but she was listening to hers for like 27 hours over a weekend. And she said it totally lit her on fire. And so we all have this streak going where you record the affirmations. And then in the ThinkUp app, you can give it a hashtag or a category. So I have affirmations for days of the week. And then I have affirmations for category. Super nerdy. But I will listen to the days of the week affirmations, but I will also listen to all of them, or I will focus on one thing that I want over and over and over again. And I'll just listen to it like when I'm watching a Hallmark movie, which it's that time of the year.
Oh, I know. That's all that's on our
house. I'll put one earbud in and just let it go into my subconscious. Because I like to automatically do things. Automagically, I like to do things, right? As opposed to working hard, I like to work smart and efficiently and effectively and all the things, right? So that's just what I affirm to myself, is that it's easy for me to say yes to spinach and no to banana bread, as opposed to, oh, I'm going to eat healthy. Oh, I didn't eat healthy. Big surprise.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
It's almost like the difference between saying the words in the front end and impacting your behavior versus just behaving whatever you feel like doing and then saying the words on the back end of it, which is exactly that. Oh, I can't believe I screwed up again, or I can't believe I'm such a loser, right. Or I can't believe whatever it is.
Yeah. So it's just recognizing that. For me, it's just, I call it, I was saying to someone the other day, because she was like, how do you clarify that or quantify that or make sense of that in your head? And I said, I either win or I learn. And all the time I'm looking at this behavior, this belief that I have, whatever it is. And then I challenge it. It's like, is that effective? Is that the most effective? Is that how I want to be? Is that what I want to do? Is that where I want to get to? And if not, then I write down how I want it to be. And then I turn that into like, I am this, I am doing this. This is what's happening. I am doing it and it is easy and I am crushing it. And then it's not very long before if it's not 100%, I'm at least making progress. I can see where it's like, oh, guess what? I had a 45-minute conversation in French and I was able to understand most of what was being said to me and I was able to be understood. That's so cool to me that I've gone from nothing to where I am. And I feel like I'm a baby still. I don't feel like... No one would accuse me of being bilingual.
We hope you enjoyed this conversation with Honoré Corder and encourage you to check out the other interviews in the bonus content for performance-driven giving.